Today is Tuesday, March 24th, 2020, Tuesday of the fourth week of Lent. I have to begin, I guess, by apologizing for the lack of posts over the last 2 days. I had a lot to say about Sunday's readings. I really did. I had a lot to say about it, and I thought, I don't know if what I was going to say was interesting, but I had interesting thoughts. I mean, there's just an awful lot going on in those readings, and there was all kinds of stuff that was just really jumping out at me that I wanted to talk about, and maybe that was the problem. I wanted to do too much because I could not get the words in the proper order. I just couldn't get it to make sense. I couldn't transition between things the way I wanted to. It was a disaster. Honestly, there's probably, I don't know, like 15 deleted files in my recycle bin where I was like, nope, not going to do that one. Nope, not going to do that one either. Some of them were almost done. Like, I talked for like 10, 12 minutes, and then I realized, you're an idiot, and you can't possibly publish that. So, and then it got in my head, and so Sunday didn't happen, and I apologize for that. That's like the one day I really should be able to do this, and I couldn't. And then yesterday didn't happen, because I had a doctor's appointment. I follow up with my eye doctor, and I was just thinking about that all morning, and then I was at the doctor's office for like an hour, and it's close to my mom's house, so I just went there afterwards, and that was that. But for those that don't know the whole story, I got pretty sick about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago. I got shingles, which is just a miserable sort of thing, and people always say, oh, I heard shingles hurts. It does. So when people tell you they have shingles, don't ask them how much pain they're in, because they're in it and it's miserable. My shingles were on my face, which is just the worst. Like, I'm sure it's bad anywhere else too, but it's just the worst. Like, I get pain around my eye, so periodically it just feels like somebody came up and just punched me right in the face, and I can't hit anyone back, and that's frustrating. The other problem with getting shingles on your face is that it can cause other issues. So because of where I had it, it was very close to my left eye, which had my left eyelid just swollen up, and I looked like some kind of hideous circus freak. But it caused additional complications, so I got cellulitis in my eye, and don't fully understand what cellulitis is, except that it is very bad, and my physician was very concerned as soon as she saw it, so she immediately sent me to an eye doctor, because she wanted someone with better equipment to take a look at it. And so my doc couldn't get me in, and so I wound up with this current doctor, who's been a godsend. Such a super nice guy, and like super devout Catholic. Like, we were sitting there yesterday, we're waiting for my eye to dilate. He put those awful drops in, and we just probably talked for like, I don't know, 5 almost 10 minutes about Saint Lucy, and how like he's got this deep and tremendous devotion to her as patron saint of eye doctors. And It was a really neat conversation. It's kind of cool to, like, you find people like that, or maybe, I guess, more accurately, God finds those people for you and then puts you together. So, but anyway, so I was at the eye doctor yesterday, and I didn't get anything else accomplished. But my eye is getting better, and I don't know, he's given me some different medicines to try. There's a new eye drop that I have to put in that I haven't done yet today, and I will as soon as I'm done recording, that hopefully will help clear some of this stuff up. And I go back in Holy Week to see him, and he said that better be the last time that I see you. So we're close. It's just taking a while to heal. So in your charity, a prayer or two for my eyeball would not be remiss. But hey, we're out of the woods. Like, I won't go blind. The vision is still good. And that wasn't an immediate concern, but it wasn't without the realm of possibility either. So anyway, all that being said, that's where I've been and why I haven't been here. Now let's talk about what's going on today. And it's kind of ironic that I'm talking about all these medical issues, because that's something that kind of comes up in the gospel today, from the beginning of chapter 5 of St. John's gospel. And this story has always been, not this story, but the dialogue in this story has also always been a little bit confounding to me. And this is not the only place in the scriptures where this kind of exchange happens. But I think considering that I was just at the doctor's myself yesterday, it's got me thinking about it even more. So there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" Okay, so that's the first thing that I have a concern with. But here, listen to how the man answers it. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am on my way, someone else gets down there before me." Okay, so first of all, do you want to be well? The guy's been sick for 38 years. Like, I've been dealing with kind of like my health issue now for only a month. This guy's been sick for 38 years. Do you want to be well? What do you think he's going to say? But Jesus does this a number of places in the Gospels. What is it that you want me to do for you? Do you want to be well? Like, he asks these types of questions to believers and non-believers, to foreigners and children of Israel. Like, he wants people to ask. And I think, like, sometimes we don't want to ask. It's like are we embarrassed to ask God to do something? Are we embarrassed is it by asking that we think we're acknowledging or we're admitting that we're weak? I mean, we kind of are. Humans are frail things, and we struggle with a lot of things physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Like, why can't we ask? I mean, especially if you're going to God, you're going to the one person that can fix this, the one person that is legitimately stronger than you and is always going to be stronger than you. Like, it's not an embarrassing thing. It's just truth. But he asks the question, do you want to be well? Because he's waiting for an answer. He wants someone to say, yes, I need your help. I need your assistance. I'm reliant on you. But then look at the way the man answers him. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am on my way, someone else gets down there before me. Again, you've been sick for 38 years. The answer to the question is yes. Do you want to be well? Yeah, I want to be well. Instead, what he does is he gives him an excuse. Now, I guess there's another way to look at this too, and maybe I'm being too negative. Maybe what he's trying to say here is like, absolutely, I want to be well. I just haven't been able to do the thing that I've had to do. Every time I try to get down there, someone gets there before me. For 38 years, I've been unsuccessful at this. But I don't know. When I read this, I just hear an excuse. Oh, yeah, I guess I could be well, but, you know, I just, you know, can't. Like, I'm not even going to try anymore. I give up. You know, I guess this is what it is. And it's interesting that Jesus doesn't really engage with that excuse, right? Like, he doesn't call him out on it. He's much more patient than I am. But he doesn't accept it either. He just tells him, well, rise, pick up your mat, and walk. And again, it's interesting how he doesn't say, I will heal you. He doesn't do any sort of, like, you know, bold action. He doesn't draw a lot of attention to himself. He just tells him to rise, take up your mat, and walk. And immediately the man became well, takes up his mat, and walks away. And there's something about that too, right? It would have been perhaps easier for Jesus to make a big scene about things. To, like, call on his heavenly Father and gesticulate wildly and speak boldly and get everyone to pay attention to what he's doing and make it a production. Instead, Jesus gives the man a task. Take up your mat and walk. Get up, get out of here. There's like a responsibility that the man has at this point. Jesus isn't just going to do these things. Jesus wants you to ask, and then Jesus wants you to do something once you've asked. He doesn't want people to be passive. He wants people to come and seek, and when they find, he wants them to do something with what they found. And I think it's not just how he works miraculous cures. I think that's the essence of what it means to live a Christian life. To be someone that's in constant dialogue with God. To be asking for things. To be giving thanks for things. And then to be responsible about those things. Responsible about our requests and responsible about our thanksgivings. And then doing something with what we've been given. Or doing something while we wait for a prayer to be answered. Trusting in the fact that I've put it before God and he's going to handle this according to his holy will. Rise, take up your mat and walk. You know what else that sounds like to me? Something that he says elsewhere in the gospel. You cannot be my disciple if you would not pick up your cross daily and follow after me. You have to get up on your feet. You have to put a burden on your back. And you have to move forward. You can't be passive anymore. You can't just sit around and be like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I mean, okay. You can say a lot of things. That doesn't make them true. But if you can sit around, like if you can have that dialogue with God, and if you can do something, and it doesn't have to be a big thing. Rise, take up your mat and walk. He just picks up his mat and he goes home. Now, if you get into the rest of the story, there's a confrontation with the Jews because this happens on the Sabbath and what's going on, and that's not nothing either, right? I think sometimes we're afraid of accepting the responsibility of Christian because it can lead to conflict with others. Because we start living a life that's not based on what the world would teach us, but it's based on what Christ teaches us. And we look different. But we are. Right? Your baptism wasn't just a thing that happened. I mean, like, it was real. It had effects. Your soul's different now. And that should, like, inform the rest of your life. And we need to not be afraid of that. So, I don't know, just a couple of things to think about there. Are you talking to God? Are you asking for things? Are you accepting the responsibility of being a Christian? Are you willing to get up and walk? Are you going to take up your cross and follow him? Are you afraid of the conflict of being Christian? Or are you willing to live a life that is one of witness? Are you willing to do the work of building up the kingdom of God here on earth? And ultimately, do you want to be happy with him in the kingdom of heaven? If you want those things, and why wouldn't you? Then you know what you have to do. So in your prayer today, ask God for I guess, the gift of courage to be able to do the things that it is that we have to do. All right, stay safe out there. Wash your hands. Pray a lot. Got some more content coming later. Don't forget that today in the diocese, the bishop has asked us to observe a day of fasting and prayer. Today's a day of fasting. Tomorrow's a day of prayer. Tomorrow being the Feast of the Annunciation, it's a good day to pray anyway. Of course, what day isn't? But it's also a day where we're going to really ask God to kind of deliver us from this whole pandemic. But today's a day of fasting to prepare us for that. And there's different resources for that on the diocesan website. But if you can't fast, if you're medically unable or you're outside of the age requirements, find something else to do today to kind of offer it up. Sacrifice something. But just kind of put yourself in a place where it's easier to have that dialogue with God because you've distanced yourself from the things of this world. I know it's hard to do that maybe in these current situations because everything's just upside down and backwards, but this is where we find out how deep our discipleship is. So, all right, once again, I'm out of here. I'll talk to you later. Have a good one. Wash your hands. God bless.